Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many of y'all glad we got a group of folks, brothers and sisters in Christ, that are willing to sing and allow the Holy Spirit to be released? And for just a moment, we're going to come to the altar at the beginning of the service. We've had several people this week that just sick, crazy things going on, life kind of things have gone on. And I'm going to encourage you, at 8 o'clock, we just came to the altar and we just prayed together for a minute, okay? Y'all okay with that? I think sometimes we need to come together and pray as a church. And you know, there's no way that prayer can be out of order. You know, there's no way that can be out of the order of the church, because one of the things we're supposed to be doing as we come together to worship is we're supposed to encourage one another. And so guess what? If you don't leave here today encouraged in Christ, then we hadn't been to church. I mean, that's how you know you've been to church. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, don't come to church to listen to some talking head. That's the problem with the church. Y'all have heard too many preachers. And we need to hear the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you what I saw this week, same thing I see most every week. One of our dear brothers, Jerry Oller, I want to come and I want to pray for Jerry. He said, how come you praying for Jerry? Here's why I'm praying for Jerry. Because Jerry and Charlotte have been a part of this ministry since the day it started happening. Let me tell you something. If you don't think people take care of you at Hillview, I'm not hearing that anymore. Now here's what I know. If you choose not to be involved in the community, then the community benefits they're not shared with you. That's the truth. That's in anything in life. If you step back here in the back door and expect a full-fledged blessing, you're on Mars. You got to get into the community of Christ. Guess what? I was there with Jerry Wednesday night. He had a beautiful Wednesday night. He was at men's ministry. He was in Bible study. Where was he? This is a great way to be caught by Jesus. You know, a night before an episode. To be at Bible study, in choir practice, went home, had a ham sandwich, laid down, and has had a heart attack or something, and it's touch and go, folks. I'm just going to be honest with you, it's touch and go. And guess what? When I'm in a touch and go situation with a human being, guess what, Steve Tischner? Nobody in that emergency room worried about what kind of music Jerry liked. He's a singer. They didn't worry about what kind of church he went to. They weren't worried about what denomination he was in. They weren't worried whether what he learned in Bible study. There was only one thing that mattered at that moment. And you all will never move me for this one thing. Because every week I have to say see you later to somebody. And you know what matters when you get ready to die? Here's what matters when you get ready to die. Has the Lord Jesus Christ come into your life? Have your sins been forgiven? And are you connected to Jesus Christ? So when that moment occurs in our life, we will go on and be in the kingdom of God. That's a very serious issue in the church. And so this is why you need to understand your pastor. I'm not going to clown around with a bunch of psycho mumbo jumbo to make you feel good, because guess what? When you're laying there and it's touch and go, you're not going to feel good. And if all you got some kind of feel-good gospel, you know, where you went to church every Sunday and the preacher, you went going, man, 10 different ways how to be a successful Christian. I only know one. I'm an old-fashioned preacher. You better step up here and realize that you've sinned and we're disconnected from God. How many of y'all realize everybody's done that? Not some people, all people. That's pretty. Now, here's the good news. Since all sin, Jesus said He's willing to save every one of them. If you would like to be connected with Jesus Christ, your qualification is to be a sinner. How many of y'all are qualified? Hey, there we go. Now y'all are getting this grace thing. And Jesus said, I'll come into your life and I'll make you extraordinarily different. And guess what? Jerry knows Jesus. We've had a lot of people with this flu and all this stuff going on. And we've had some people that have lost their life. Well, guess what? Can we just come to the altar together for a minute? Just kneel down and say, God, we just want to pray for folks that are hurting right now. Folks that are going through some tough stuff. And we're going to trust you to get them better. How many of y'all glad to know God will get people better? He will. And we got to start believing that. Now, guess what? Jerry's still alive. He's still alive. He's up here at CCU. Nobody thought he'd get to CCU. Now, I attend Hillview. I've had several people walk out of the hospital that wasn't supposed to walk out of the hospital. Miracle from who? How many of y'all believe God still do some things like that? Now, if you in this church... You in this church, and watch this. Now, here's what I want you to know, though. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to glorify over a miracle. I'm going to glorify over who sent it. That's right. See, miracles aren't that big a deal to Jesus. Jesus said, hey, Lazarus, get up. Lazarus, stone cold dead. Guess what he did? Because Jesus told him to. And I want you all to hear the Word of God today. That Word is what changes your life forever. Amen. Well, let's come to the altar. Let's just open that up. Let's come here for just a second, say a prayer together. Then we'll get to the message. It's a short message today, so we got time to pray together. Y'all just take a knee. And if you don't want to come to the altar, just grab somebody's hand. But let's stand in the gap for some people in our congregation that are hurting. Guest, this is not a strange practice. This is called the real church. And we're supposed to pray for one another, love one another. And that's cool. Y'all can go just like that and just hold hands. We got it, man. Everybody's at the altar. Y'all are great. Here we go. Wonderful. Let's just pray together. God, in this house, at this altar, there's people that represent all kinds of situations in life. And right now, Lord, how many of y'all just lift up Jerry Oller right now? CCU, God, I pray that the spirit of his church, the spirit of the choir, the spirit of the praise teams, the spirit of the body of Christ, but most of all, Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, right now just engulfs that room. And Lord, as Charlotte and Jerry are in that room, I pray that you will just heal and restore what seems to be impossible. You have got a knack at doing that, Jesus. So you just do that right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for people that got the flu. We pray for all the different crises that are represented by people right here. God, people that have been in wrecks, people that have just been just had a tough week. God, we pray for our economy. Father, we pray for people that don't have jobs, that they'll go get one. You'll open up opportunity for them, and then they'll be faithful in their opportunity. God, we pray that we as a nation will come together, and we will be the hope of Jesus Christ to the world we live in. In the name of Jesus. The church said what?
Amen.
Y'all been great. Y'all scoot back to your seat. That'll be wonderful. Y'all been wonderful today. How many of y'all give God the glory that He is real? His prayers are heard. Amen. Thank you all. Thanks, guys. Go with me to the Gospel of John. Thanks, Shane. How are we doing this morning?
He's doing better.
He's doing better this morning. This is Jerry's son and his wife, and he said Jerry's doing better this morning. Amen. Give God praise for that. That's good stuff. Good stuff. How much of your life have you let Jesus get a hold of? How much of your life have you allowed Jesus to get a hold of? Let that question resonate between your ears for a minute. How many of y'all realize that Jesus simply does want to mold your heart, transform your mind? How many of y'all got a new way of thinking? When you get around Jesus, I think different than when I'm not listening to Him. How many of y'all found that? I react different listening to the Word of God and just kind of ignoring the Word of God. How many of y'all react different? Because guess what? Jim, God tells me to love my enemies. So when somebody pulls out in front of me on Scarfer Road, slows down to 20 miles an hour, that's an enemy. And I need to love them in the love of Jesus. Amen? Here's where I'm getting you, church. The world needs believers today. The world needs believers today. And I'm gonna sound kind of, some of y'all are going to be offended by this, but the world has grown weary of church people. America is sick and tired of hearing church people. You know how I know that? I'm sick and tired of hearing them. And I'm in the family. I can't imagine what it would feel like to be not in the family listening to them. People are tired of hearing what we're going to do and we never do it. They want to see God move. And that's why I want to take you. That's why we're going through this year. Jesus exposed. Jesus' reality let out. This is all about Jesus. In church, I cannot let you be led astray. Let me tell you, we're in a time where things are shifting rapidly, but here's what scares me the most. We're in a time where the American church would rather have you feel good than for you to hear the truth. And I hear this from all over. I talk to people from all over the world, and they tell me, "Well, Pastor T, this church makes me feel good." And I said, "Smoking dope makes you feel good." True? Yeah, y'all ain't gonna answer that, are you? Everybody going, I ain't telling him. Drinking a few glasses of wine will make you what? Yeah, y'all say that a little stronger. It's not about feeling good. It's about literally being free. Really allowing Jesus Christ to do something great in your life. Now I want to show you, go to John chapter 4 because Jesus loves sinners. That's the first thing I want you to see. Jesus loves you no matter what. Jesus loves you no matter what. Tell your neighbor that. Jesus loves me no matter what. Come on, we got to work this thing today. Come on, Jesus loves me no matter what. I want you to get this message because there's some people in here today that are going to come to know Jesus Christ. And guess what? When their day comes, they're going to be able to live in heaven. We got to know the truth of God's Word. And here's the way you learn truth. Counselor Blaha, truth has got to be more than statute. Would you agree with me? The Commonwealth may say it, but that doesn't make it so. What do you think about that? It does make it so inside the Commonwealth. I'd agree with that. Huh? But when Jesus says it, it is so. How many of y'all understand? When Jesus says it, it makes it so. You say, how do you know? Watch this. God said, let there be what? And? Okay, now some of you are going, well, I'm not sure I believe in creation. All right? God said, let there be light. Bang! God gets the blame for it either direction you go. God said, let there be light. I remember my geography teacher. He said, well, there was this big bang. I said, I know. He said, you agree with that? I said, yeah. God said, let there be light. Bang! It was. I said, something turned it on. And I said, by the way, Doc, it wasn't you. And it wasn't your scientist. Because here's what you would know about scientists. And I love scientists. We need scientists. You need to thank God for scientists. Every time you take a flu shot, you say, thank God for scientists. Somebody created. But guess what? A scientist only discovers what has been created. A creator put it together. And the same creator that put it together let us discover some of it. Amen? I don't know about y'all. I'm glad we get to discover some of it. And if y'all have ever met a doctor, y'all know that God's intervened a lot of times in their lives and helped them out. It's kind of scary. It's kind of like having me as a preacher. If you went to high school with me, you go, no way. Well, it's kind of scary when you go to the hospital and all of a sudden one of your buddies walks in and he goes, I'll be your neurosurgeon. And you're thinking about, this is the kid that fell off the swing in the playground in the third grade. This is a kid that couldn't walk and chew gum, and he's going to cut into my head. Dear God, be with him. Amen? See, God uses us no matter what. Well, I got to tell you this. John chapter 4, Jesus wants to meet everybody. There was a woman at the well in John chapter 4. Okay, I'm going to go to the last part of this chapter, but I got to get you updated. There was a woman at the well. There was a woman, and she was a Samaritan woman. Now, here's what I want you to know about Jesus. Jesus will not follow our rules. This is why people are tired of hearing. Watch this. I'm not busting on church people. I just want you to have an evaluation, okay? If it's about the rules, then why did Jesus come? Jesus had enough rules being Jewish without adding some more. We had rules. And I'm going to tell you why I think we go to rules. We go to rules because we can control those. When you go to relationship, you got to submit to Jesus. Do you see the difference? Here was the rule. Women don't talk to men in public, and Samaritans don't talk to Jews. Kind of the unwritten rule. Jesus was a rule breaker. He's talking to both. Not only does Jesus get in trouble, not only would Jesus talk to a woman, Jesus, nah, he's got to talk to a Samaritan woman. So he broke the rules so she might find grace. Now here's what was interesting. She was not at the well waiting for Jesus, but Jesus knew where she was. She was at a well. She was lonely. She had been, her life was involved in things that were tearing her apart. And guess what? Jesus met her where she was. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus will meet you where she is? And then they get in this conversation. She thought Jesus, you know, was there to get some water, but really Jesus was there to show her life. And Jesus is doing ministry in an everyday moment. Now that's what I want you to write down. Here's where I hope the Holy Spirit will lead us to. Your everyday moments are more important than your Sunday moments. So here's what the devil told the church. The devil told the church, hey, y'all be serious for 1 hour on Sunday. Yeah, the devil, he said, he led us down this road. He said, y'all get together, huddle up in a big building, put a big, you know, triangle on top of the roof, call it church, and y'all huddle up for 1 hour and talk about what you might do, but you stay out of the everyday world. That's mine. I'll let y'all huddle up on Sunday and y'all can talk about an awesome God. You can talk about a God that'll mold your heart. You can talk about a God that'll transform your will. You can talk about a God that'll renew your mind, but keep it in the huddle. Keep it in the huddle. Keep it where? In the huddle. Now, really, what we're supposed to do on Sunday morning is we're supposed to be reminded of how great God is. And we're supposed to encourage one another on who that God is that we worship. And then guess what? When we bust out of this place, we are supposed to go change the world, because the Jesus that is in us can do that. We go meet people at the well. And there's always somebody at the well. Just a lonely woman. This girl was out. Obviously she was out, because Jesus said, "Hey, you go get your husband." And she answered, remember, "I don't have a husband." Jesus answered back, "You're right. You've had five husbands, and the guy you're now living with is not your husband." What do y'all think about this? Jesus not only talking to a woman. Jesus not only talking to a Samaritan. He is talking to a Samaritan woman that is shacked up. And he didn't flinch. Marge, he did not continue to exclude this woman. Now let me give you a new attitude. Our job is to include people in the grace of God, not exclude them from the presence of God. Does that make sense? I just want to let y'all know something. Y'all ready for this? This is going to be groundbreaking news. Jesus had hope before Obama. I just want to let y'all know that Obama is not the first person to really bring in hope. I just want to let y'all know that, because y'all seem like this is a new idea. And I see church people going, "Oh, Obama's going to bring hope." Now, you know, wherever you stand politically, just stand where you need to stand. But let me tell you what, Obama is not our hope. John McCain is not our hope. Just like many of you disappointingly have learned, George Bush was not our hope. Bill Clinton is not our hope. But this is really going to blow y'all away. George Washington is not our hope. Even though you got some of him in your purse and in your pocket. He's not our hope. Jesus Christ is our what? Well, guess what? This woman believed Jesus. Guess what? She had a conversation with Jesus. Guess what her question was? How are we supposed to worship? She said, she started talking to Jesus, because after Jesus said, "You know, you've been married five times and the guy you're living with you're not married to," her response was, "Hey, I can see you're a prophet." This, do you know what Jesus did? Jesus read her email and said, "I loved you." How many of y'all glad to know that when Jesus reads your email, his response to that is, "I love you"? You know what's interesting? Jesus didn't call her a tramp. He didn't give any derogatory names to her. He just said, "Let me show you who I am." She said, "Well, they say we're supposed to worship. The Jews worship in the temple and we worship on the mountain." And Jesus said, "Well, let me tell you, neither one of those are the big deal." He said, "I want you to worship in spirit and truth. I want you to know." And then she said, "You know, I heard there's a guy coming and he's supposed to be the Messiah. And when he gets here, he's going to tell us everything." And guess what? Jesus looked at her and said, "He who speaks to you, I am he." What a shocker. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus was so ordinary that the extraordinary thing was that when you met him, you couldn't believe it's him? So is grace. Grace is so extraordinary that, Kevin, it ought to be in the ordinary every day of life, so that the ordinary every day of life, Earl, guess what, becomes a very extraordinary event. Chris, when you talk about the weather, ought to be a testimony. So you say, "Folks, I don't know anything about this, but I know who created it." So let me tell you what, here's the odds of my knowledge today. We could have a blizzard, or we could have a heat wave. It's February in Bowling Green. The odds are 50-50 on both sides. But I know who. Come on, I know who. How many of y'all glad to know whether the sun's shining or the rain's falling, our God is still the same? How much beautiful, isn't it? That God never changes. God never leaves us. God will meet us at the well. Now, that's great news. Now, I got to ask you a question. See, I'm not sure we in the church believe people can get saved. For a long time, I thought only white middle class people could get saved. Because I went in church and that was all that was in my church. Stuffy white middle class people. Stick in the mud, having no fun. White class, you know. And church looked like this. Looked like somebody hit everybody that came into there. I'm not, y'all, hey, y'all are grinning because you were there. Y'all remember. I mean, I would go into this place and these people were supposed to be worshiping Jesus. Amazing grace. And it was like the Spirit would be sucked out of their life at 4 to 12. At 4 to 12, if the guy wasn't done testifying about the grace of God, at 4 minutes to 12 o'clock, the Spirit left the church. In fact, I remember going to church at 5 to 12. The congregation I preached in, a few back, they would all get to whooping cough. Quarter to about 5 minutes to 12 o'clock, everybody in the congregation. Finally, I just look at him. I said, "You can cough all you want. I ain't shutting up." I said, "Gee, you gave God 61 minutes of your life this week." And they were like, "Well, I've gone overtime." This ain't even time. This ought to be the joyous occasion that we edify and encourage one another. It's on the everyday streets we live Jesus. That's why I want to tell you about John chapter 4. Well, Jesus met this woman and he just spoke life into her. Mission of the church, to speak life into the world. The world by itself will die. Get this. The world by itself will die. And you and I by ourselves will just die. But when Jesus comes into our lives, we live forever. True or false? What do you think, Barry Lindsay? If I was in your situation and had three beautiful women that I had, there's no way I'd do that without Jesus. You're a smart man. Because you had to look at all three of them and say, "I'm bringing Jesus into this if y'all don't back off." Got to bring. How many of y'all leading your families and letting Jesus take the lead? I'd strongly suggest that. In everyday moments. This woman became so transformed by Jesus, guess what she had to do? Go tell everybody. See if I'm crazy or not. Y'all help me. I don't think you have to tell people to talk about what they love. What do you think? You know where I learned this from? Grandparents. They're crazy. How many of y'all are grandparents? If I ask you about your kids, you'll tell me every story. You tell me their birth weight. You tell me what they did the first week of their existence. If I ask you to see a picture, you know, now you have a digital phone. You have 4 memory cards of their first 2 weeks of existence. You're in love with what? You bear testimony to the evidence of their existence. That's all we're supposed to do with Jesus Christ. Well, this lady goes back into town. I want you to go with me to verse 39. And it said, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did." Now, Earl, I think this is what drew the crowd. Would you all say that this woman maybe got around town a little bit? She either did or she didn't. Which one is it? So y'all get a little nervous when y'all find out this stuff's in the Bible. Y'all thought MTV made it up. No, it's been going on a long time. Well, when she went in town and said, "Hey, I've met a man that told me everything I did," do you think there might have been some men in the town that did it with her? Do you think there might have been a few men in town that may have had a little rendezvous, but they had forgotten to tell their wife about that? So here's a woman getting ready to share everything she did because she met a man. They come rushing out of town. They want to meet the man, Mr. Carrier, that told her about her life. And when they met that man, their life was changed. She said, "Here's a man that told me everything I ever did and loves me anyway." That is so powerful. How many of y'all have met a man that knows everything you did and loves you anyway? His name is Jesus. That ought to get in you. Now once it gets in you, guess what it's got to do? Come on. See, watch this. Here's what I'm telling you. Because y'all always, some of y'all ask some great questions. You go, "Pastor Ayers, how come you don't train us in evangelism?" I said, because a lot of you are saved. You don't have to train saved people to do evangelism. You have to train unsaved people to do evangelism. And the statistics are showing it doesn't work very well. Because once you truly know Jesus, you're going to tell somebody about him. Jim, you ever told somebody about Jesus? Have you ever done it before you knew it happened? Because you know, you grew up down on the wrong side of tracks. You wasn't supposed to be married as long as you're supposed to, having a job and raising a beautiful family. What happened? Got saved. Has it ever just come out of your mouth? I mean, you were talking to somebody and you said, well, the reason my life is different is because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I've been saved. How many of y'all have ever just said, I've been saved in front of somebody before you realize you said, I've been saved? And they look at you, were you drowning? Well, yeah, I was, but not like you think I was. Now, see, this is what I'm telling you. The woman just went to town and said this. The woman, Doc, she just walked in town and said, I met a man that told me everything I did, and he said I was all right anyway. I got to preach for just a moment. Because what I want us to realize is we worship together the great and glorious Lord Jesus Christ. We have a God that knows everything that we've done, and he says, I love you, I love you, I love you. And his desire is to bring us to heaven. I don't know about you, but that's a great testimony. How many of y'all got the testimony? Jesus has changed my life. And see, this is what we got to do. We got to let him do what we just sung about. Mold my heart. How many of y'all got a different heart? I love people now I didn't used to love. How many of y'all love some people you didn't used to love? Come on, let's be honest. How many of y'all got some people now you go, I can't believe I'm loving them? How many of y'all are friends with people you used to didn't like? That's cool. About five of you. The rest of y'all lying. How many of y'all lie? A lot. Okay, yeah, we all do. This woman wasn't lying. She was testifying. Let me tell you something else. This is the truth. I want you to know. When you bear testimony of Jesus, you cannot lie. Because who's getting the glory? Now, I want you to know who got the glory in this story. What Jesus did. How many of y'all realize everybody's got a testimony that believes in Jesus? Now, I want to relieve some of you. How many of y'all have ever said this? My testimony ain't no good. What you're saying is you don't have a dramatic testimony. I take issue with you in love. I think everybody's got a dramatic testimony. This does not make a testimony valuable. I used to go to a brag-a-mony meetings. You know, the first testimony, if they drank a case of beer, by the time we got done through the night, they were drinking a beer truck a night. You know what I mean? I drank a whole beer truck, but Jesus touched my soul, and now I'm saved. This is a powerful testimony. I was born to Christian parents. I listened to what God said through them. When I was a young boy or girl, I asked Jesus Christ into my life. Jesus spoke into my life through elementary school, and I learned his ways. I believed in Jesus Christ. He stabilized me as a junior high student. Now, there's a miracle. He stabilized. There's a testimony. He stabilized me when everything in my body was going haywire. And I listened to him. When I got to high school, he guided me to what I was supposed to do. I stayed with him. He either sent me to college or gave me a trade. And guess what? I stayed with him. He sent me the one I needed to be married. He lifted me up. My life was untouched by drugs, alcohol, illicit sex. He kept me clean all through the journey. And now I stay in the presence of God with a family that is amazing, because all through my life I've listened to Jesus. If that's your testimony, I want you to know you got a powerful testimony. Amen. Somebody needs to glorify what's right every once in a while. Because guess what? I hope a lot of our young people have that testimony, don't you? I hope they meet Jesus at the well when they're six. Amen? And guess what? I don't want our ladies pregnant at 15. Amen? Yeah, I don't want to see that happen to our little girls. And boys, you are in charge of that not happening. I don't even want you to ask. This would cut a lot of it out. You got to have $100,000 before you can get that. That'd solve a lot of problems. Then people would go to work. They would be motivated. Amen? They'd be motivated to go to work. They'd be 16. Let me go to work! We got to get real about this thing. Jesus loves us, and he puts us back together. We don't come to church to just hear what might happen. We come to church because it will happen. Jesus loves you. Put your life back together. Her testimony brought a crowd, and Jesus stayed with them. Look what happened. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many became believers. Because of his words, many believed. Jesus' words. Here's his word. We've all sinned. That's one of his words. But I want you to hear Jesus' word. Watch this. Here's some of Jesus' words. You hang Jesus on the cross, and what does he say to us? Father, forgive them. They what? You said it. Come on. They don't know what they did. How many of y'all have had to say that to yourself more than once? How many of y'all have even had to look up at Jesus and go, Jesus, please forgive me again because you're absolutely right. I don't even know what I did. I don't even know what I'm doing. Here's a way to get healed. Lord! This is one of my favorite prayers. Help! I've been stupid again. And Jesus answers with all love, Ayers, once again, let me remind you, I've created a lot of crayons. You're not one of the sharper ones I made. You need to listen more intensely than others, and you won't mess up. Listen to me. I want to love you into life. I want to bring you to my reality. I want to show you the things that you think are not possible are possible in me. Yeah. Even when it looks like everything is gone, Jesus said, I'll stay with you for 2 days. Watch this. I want you to note this. Jesus stayed with people he wasn't supposed to. Samaritan. The religious of his day would have been having a little meeting behind closed doors. Going, what are we going to do with this rabbi? I heard he had a revival over there in the Samaritan community. I heard he talked to a woman at the well. I heard she got freed. I heard she'd been sleeping around. And Jesus talked to her anyway. Sounds like some of the things I've heard in Bowling Green. About that church. It takes anybody. No matter what they've done, I'll stand on that testimony. Over here, you know why? You know why? They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now, we know. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man, I love the way they say this, really is the Savior of the Jesus exposed. How many of y'all realize we got one mission? Go show them who? Jesus. How many of y'all ready to show Jesus at Starbucks tomorrow? Watch this. How do you show Jesus at Starbucks in the morning? Don't beep your horn when there's 25 cars in the line. Why do you think you're more special than the other 25 people?
Well, you don't know. I got a lot of places to go to.
Like nobody else does. Don't pull out on Scottsville Road and go 15 miles an hour. That's not of God. That causes people to sin on Monday before they get to work. Flow with the traffic? No. Love each other as Jesus Christ has done what? Done us. Now, have you learned something today? First of all, Jesus is the testimony. He meets us where we are. How about said where we is? I sound like Popeye. That's what Popeye would say. You know, he meets us where we is. And we is what we is. But let me tell you something else. Jesus is what he is too. You see, that's what this whole town learned. Jesus is who he says he was. He is the Savior. He really is the Savior of the what?
World.
Mr. Mosley, you believe that? Let me ask you a question, Mr. Mosley. Do you believe Jesus can get all the way out to Hadley? That's a long place to go to, you know what? It's a big hill to climb. How many of y'all believe Jesus will go to Richardsville? Watch this one. What about Brownsville? Absolutely. Watch this. What about Uno, Kentucky? Do you know that's a real place? What about, y'all know this one? Turkey Creek. Rooster Bend. I wish I was making these up. These are real places. Huh? Bare head. God will get everywhere. Well, here's the thing. Let's really look. How many of y'all have been at the well at least once so far in a journey of life? And this is what it means to be at the well. Thinking there's no other possibility. And Jesus steps in. Note this. The woman didn't invite Jesus. Please note this. It's very important to keep things in order. The woman did not invite Jesus.
Hello?
Jesus invited the woman. Y'all ready to minister in a way that this world hadn't seen in a while? We don't need to minister in a new way. We just need to minister in a way the world hadn't seen in a while. Go bring the testimony of Jesus. And things will change. Amen? I'm glad old Brock's talking about hope and we're talking about new reality and all the politicians, McCain, all of them, Hillary, did I get them all? That three left, and Huckabee. He's a preacher. He'll stay in the election as long as they take up a collection. He's a preacher. You know what? I think it's time that America sees the church. What do you think? Unplugged from everything else. Just the church. And Jesus seems to love them more than he does lecture them. And he seems to give them hope when they feel hopeless. And he seems to welcome everybody when we only welcome a some. Jesus exposed. By the way, it's going to get scary. The deeper we walk into this year, I promise you, as we look at Jesus, Chris, all of us are going to see sides of Jesus that we've never seen. And we'll want to have a Jesus that is controllable. And what we're going to find is a Jesus that's uncontrollable. And that will unnerve us. We'll discover that Jesus doesn't hold to the ethnic identity that we do. We'll discover that Jesus doesn't think like we think. We'll understand that Jesus' priorities are not like our priorities. But I hope what we discover is what the Samaritans discovered. He really is the Savior of the world. And when we discover that, guess what? I bet we'll go tell folk. Amen? Well, let's stand. I want you to pray with me today. Guess what? We got some people here that have never met Jesus, and this is a great day for them to do it. You ready? I want y'all to pray with me. Now, this is a great time of ministry. This is called an altar, and we give you a time. How many of y'all just want Jesus to meet you right where you are right now? This is so important. Please, if you've never asked Christ in your life, I ask you to give that a shot. Here's why. How many of y'all realize everybody here is going to die? I'm not being Mormon. I'm just giving you the truth. It will happen. Don't be shocked when it happens. It happens to humans. I don't know when. I wouldn't tell you if I did. You need to know Jesus. And Jesus wants to know you. So right now, I just want you to ask Jesus to come into your life if you've never done that. You ready? Guys, most important thing that could happen at the altar today is people receive Christ. If you've never been baptized, guess what you need to do? Somebody give me the heads up on that. Does anybody know why you need to be baptized? Good, y'all learned up front here. Up front there, y'all may have traded some seats with people. Back here, I'm not hearing much, so we have trade seats. Well, just, yeah, Jesus asked you to. And here's what I find. If you do what he asks you to do, there's a reason for him to do that. It changes your life. It seals the deal. So let's just ask Jesus to invite people. You need to come and pray. Some of y'all need to come and pray. Just pray for Jerry. Pray for others. Pray for Pastor Jamie. He's been real sick. I'm not picking on him at all. I mean, he's been real sick. And y'all need to pray for him. And let's pray for others in our congregation. You ought to leave here encouraged. Has the Spirit of God encouraged you today in some way? Yeah or nay? What's this? Good. This is one of these questions. It either happened or it didn't happen. It's just like salvation. You either are or you're not. You ready? Let's just pray with me. Lord, there's several people here today. And maybe for the first time, they're going to come to heaven. They're going to step into your love. And so we pray in agreement. Lord, I pray with the pastors of this church, the leaders of this church. But most of all, Father, we pray with the angels in heaven and the testimony of Jesus. Now listen. You've never asked Christ in your life. Why don't you tell him? You, in your own words, you tell him this. Lord Jesus, I've sinned. I've not done what you've asked me to do. I've not been what you made me to be. However you want to tell him that. And then tell him this, Lord, I believe you're the Savior. And right now, I want you to be mine. And Jesus, would you come into my life and forgive me of my sins? Guess what will happen? He'll do it because he said he would. He'll change you forever. Why don't you let him have that moment in your life? Let him have that moment in your life. Lord, I pray right now that the devil have no opportunity to steal anybody's understanding of Jesus. And Jesus, you just pour into their life right now and touch them right now. If you've asked Christ into your life this week, then guess what? You may need to come and you may need to just say, hey, I need to be baptized. I want to be obedient to what God asked me to do. So you know where you are. This altar's open. Y'all come right now. Y'all come right now. And just let Jesus touch you in a very real way. Come on, church. Come on, church. Hope's in Christ. Reality's in Christ. Come on, church. Let him have you right now, church. Amen. Amen. Come on. If you've never asked Christ in your life, please do that today. Don't stand here without him today. Come and pray for people today. Come pray for one another today. Pray for marriage today. Pray for life today. Come on, just don't stand there today. If you're supposed to be baptized, come on in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I ask that you just flow through this congregation. Father, we not think about leaving right now, but we think about where we are with Christ, and that's all we can think about right now, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
To Jesus, I surrender.